Welcome to Bookish Podcast with Kath and Al, a podcast about books-ish. A quick disclaimer before we start, there may be some spoilers, so please save the episode for later if you don't want any. And also, please follow us on social at We Are Bookish Pod. We hope you enjoy.
I'm really enjoying being the one that counts us in, I'm not going to lie to you. 3, 2, 1. Don't they do like 3, 2, 1? They don't say one, they just... I just mouthed it, guys. No, this is an audio only medium.
Once we finish recording, can I tell you about the Demi Lovato or documentary I've been watching on YouTube?
You may. You can tell me now if you like.
No, it's just because she was trending this week about being a Karen. It's just like lots of triggering stuff that's probably not good for this episode because we're not talking about that kind of stuff, but it's been really interesting. Yeah, she's got a lot of demons, poor girl. She's been through a lot. Anywho, I'm back, guys. Hello, good morning,
it's
good afternoon.
It's been a whole 5 minutes.
For you, it's been a whole 2 weeks.
For us, we just missed Ellie so much that I needed to speak to her again.
This is the thing, though. We're so codependent on each other. There's not a day when I don't speak to you, not really.
I speak to you more than I speak to absolutely anybody else in my entire life. I literally don't speak to anyone else more. I think I actually might speak to you more than I speak to my flatmate, and we're friends, like we talk.
We live in the same house.
Do you know what is funny though, throughout the pandemic I feel like you've just become friends with whoever I've been living with, because I've moved a few times, guys. And like whoever I'm living with, Ellie's just like friends with them through proxy. Like my mum's like, hi Ellie, when I was coming home.
My mum doesn't, she's like, oh hi, say hi to Kath. I think they know you, but without having met you yet.
Hilarious.
Oh, is that a spider? Oh, it's huge.
Oh my god, why are you so calm right now?
They don't bug me that much. It's more at night. I can't do a spider at night.
How big is it?
It's like, it's like that big.
Oh my god, nah, I'd be out the room. The recording would be over, pal. That's the episode done.
I guess with that, I can't deal with a spider at night, because you know how you swallow 8 spiders in your life. I definitely have. I know for a fact I've done it, because once I woke up with it like a leg.
Ellie, I can't. We can't. I hate spiders. I hate them. I have a romantic partner in my life, they have to be able to get rid of spiders. It's like literally the number one requirement. Like anything, like if you can't get rid of spiders, to me, like jog on, mate. It's not happening.
Do you check that on the first day? How are you with spiders?
I mean, I did check it very early on
with the boy.
But also because growing up, my brothers had to get rid of spiders for me. Like, I'd scream the house down and 3 men would run towards me.
Like, oh, there's a spider.
Yeah,
not gonna lie, I'll be watching this one you'll see me every now and then just dip, just to see where it is.
My mum keeps telling me that I need to go to that, like, phobia therapy about it, because I just hate them so much. But I'm good with like little ones. Like, I lived with a girl, Nicola. Hi, Nick. She won't mind me telling this because it's not a secret. She is petrified of them. And one time, me and my other housemate had to get rid of one because we knew how scared she was. And we were both scared, but like she was more scared. And like literally, my other housemate like got it under like a box. And then like with a magazine underneath it. And then she just threw the whole thing out the window and screamed.
That's so dramatic.
It was absolutely hilarious. Actually, no, quite recently, there was a spider in my mum's got like a little sewing room. And there was like this massive, I'm not joking, like it was literally like the size of my hand. And I was like, oh, like I was so shocked I didn't even scream. I just ran out the room. My mum was like, well, I can't see it, Catherine. And I was like, mum, how can you not see it? And it like got underneath like the flap of like a box thing. And like, oh my God. And then she was like, whoa. And the pint glass didn't fit over it, and I was like, Mum, I don't know how you managed that. Like, I'm so amazed by your bravery right now.
So you know how you just made the shape of that spider? It just reminded me. So I used to work in this jewellery store in Guildford when I lived there for uni, and this woman came in. I remember it came as day. It was me and this other girl that I used to work with. This woman came in, and all of a sudden I heard Sasha isn't someone who spooks easily, but I heard a sort of just like quick intake of breath. I sort of looked at her, and she looked at me, and then she suggested to this woman's shoulder, and no lie, the size of your hand when you did that big, and sorry guys, I don't know how big to suggest it is, but it was on her shoulder.
No, actually,
huge.
Fuck that.
When you saw it, I don't mind spiders so much unless it's at night, because I can't deal with that. But I sort of just was like, oh God. You know, when you're like, we were trying to serve this woman. Oh, it was bad, because it went on for like a little while. We were trying to serve this woman to get her obviously to buy some diamonds, but also like we were also watching where the spider was going, because it was just
did
like
did you not tell her that it was on her?
No, Sasha did. She was like after like maybe 5 or 10 minutes, Sasha was like, I am so sorry and I don't mean to spook you, but there was a massive spider on your shoulder. And the woman went like that. She goes, no, don't freak out, let's help you get it off you. And she walked out of the shop and into onto the street, and then like it was huge. I don't know whether we were serving the woman or the spider.
Nah, it I'm not
huge.
I think we're gonna have to change the subject, because I'm getting like actual heart palpitations.
Yeah,
right,
we'll
now
move on.
I'm gonna have nightmares about that tonight. You know, one time actually with the same girl that we got rid of the spider for and threw out the window thing, I was with her, like we were staying at my friend's house, and we were staying in her spare room, and there was like on the duvet it had like black flowers, and I had this nightmare that there were spiders all over the bed, so I rolled up the duvet and threw it on the floor in the middle of the night, and she was like, what are you doing? And I was like, protecting you from the spiders.
Oh my God. I mean, that was a whole 7 minutes on spiders. My thing are moths, because they flutter too much. I can't stand it.
Yeah.
But that's another story for another time. But we're back. It's been a few minutes since we last spoke. Again, like we said, for you guys, a whole 2 weeks. But when we left off on the one, which is this week's part two of the one episode, as an episode. Am I saying this right?
You are.
Yeah, okay.
Where the one left, part two.
The one part two, that's it.
You make a song, the one part two. I don't know, I didn't get any further than that. I'm not a songwriter, sorry.
Normally I have a song.
Someone write us a song. Anyway, I don't really know what's happening to us. I think the double recording might have sent us a bit mad, but we'll move.
Right. So in the first part of the one, we talked about dating apps of different kinds. We spit out a load of them in relation to dating apps and the pandemic. But to set up the second part of this, I'd like to talk about human connection. And so we sort of touch upon it at the end
not
of the last
spider connection.
It's not spider connection. Fucking hell.
Sorry, carry on.
So to set it up, in the last part, we talk about Jade, Bookmark, and Kevin. And we talk about
how... I was so confused when I was like, Bookmark? And that was only 5 minutes ago.
I was going to call him Bookmark Kevin. And then I went, no, that's not right.
That's not right.
What is it? It is Bookmark, because there's two marks, and we'll get to mark number two in a second. We don't have a cool name for him yet, though.
I'll think while you talk.
Right. So to set up the second part, we'd like to talk about human connection, and we roughly talk about it with Jade, Bookmark, and Kevin, because they realise how much important human connection is for Kevin in his final days. So in prep for this episode, and actually I'd seen this video when I was on, I watch YouTube as a thing. People don't.
Why do I watch YouTube? Doesn't everyone?
No, not some people don't. No. Like,
weirdos.
I watch YouTube like as a TV, as a TV program. Oh, yeah, anyway, it's like my daily habitual thing. Like I go and watch, catch up with my favorite YouTubers, and then anyway, I digress. This is video. Russell Brand has a channel. He's got like 3 million subscribers. He's got some really interesting stuff there. But there's one particular video called "Before You Use a Dating App, Watch This." It's exactly called that, and it's quite an interesting video. Basically, he talks about whether the need for connection is a bigger problem since we've been denied it during the pandemic. And I'm going to completely oversimplify the summary and paraphrase a lot, but it was quite interesting. So I wanted to sort of explore this a little bit more with you, Kath, while we're here, to see how we could apply this more generally in dating and online dating in relation to the book and the series. So Russell Brand in this video talks about us being social animals, that we need love, social animals that need love, that functions around hierarchy and social bonds, and those things are largely built through touch. Again, I'm paraphrasing. He goes on to say that obviously, like, touch, you can see me, no one can see me, but I'm like going towards the camera and touching.
She just wants to hug me, guys. She misses me.
I'm actually, can I hug you? No, we haven't had our jabs yet. wink. but he goes on to say, obviously, that the idea of touch has been modified as we have evolved and we've grown more cautious, and we start to like understand what touch and power means, because of things, and rightly so, like the Me Too movement and consent and things around that. I'm not going to go into that though. He also talks about loneliness, and of course that the drive and the surge of activity with dating apps, as we discussed in the first episode, is down to the need for people to connect, and that has accelerated these apps. And so I wanted to know what this meant for our characters, what loneliness means for our characters, because I think we see their need for human connection a lot in this app, in this book, in this series. And I wanted to sort of explore with you, Kath, how the book sort of helps and hinders, exploits and helps people in this way. We see how it works for Jade, Mark and Kevin. I think as we move on to the next set of people with Mandy especially, we see how people exploit her need for connection. How do you feel that this is explored in the book, in the series, and what do you think that means socially and culturally for the existence of Match Your DNA?
I think in some ways, for some people, just being able to know that there's that one person and that's their match and that's who they're going to be with, that's so reassuring for them.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's all these problems that arise, like what if your match is poorly, or what if, like, as in terminally poorly, like we saw with Kevin, or like what if your match is married, like what if, you know, if there's only one person for you, then that's very, very problematic in many, many ways. But then, and also, like you said, like it can be fully exploited. You can be like, well, you're my match, so I've got like some sort of onus over you because you're my match, and you don't have this with anyone else. Like, this is, you know, I think you hear that rhetoric quite a lot, like, not to get too deep, but like in like when people are emotionally abused,
yeah,
it's like, well, I give you something that nobody else can give you. Like, that's something that abusers use quite a lot, I think.
Yeah.
To like make the victim feel like they don't have any other option. So yeah. I guess with the match thing, there's so much danger with that, because it's like, well, if someone's your match, you can be like, well, you don't have any other option because I'm your match and nobody else is your match. So yeah, I think it's obviously problematic, but also I think there's something quite romantic. If we like are just looking at positives, there's something quite romantic about having like your one person. You know, like when you hear stories like, so my parents have been married like literally like 40 something years, like, and it's so cute. And like, I just think it's just lovely. But like, yeah, like that's like, that can happen without needing to know if they would be matched DNA wise. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Oh, you can hear me. I was like, you can't see any of my things because I haven't been talking. I agree with you. I think people sort of live and die by this app. Do you know what I mean? It's like, oh, because you are my match, this must be true. And therefore, like you said, there's this sort of like ownership of a person. And yeah, we see that a lot. Also, I feel like the match your DNA gives people the excuse to behave badly.
Yeah, being to exploit their rights and stuff, like we saw in the series with some of the people.
So this next set of people, so three of them, so you're gonna bear with us because we're gonna do a lot of like gymnastics here going through each storyline. But these next set of people I like to call reluctant lovers, like the Phil
Collins,
she's an easy lover, but they're reluctant lovers. And
do you know what I'm gonna do one day when I'm bored? I'm gonna cut up all the times you sing in episodes and make a bonus episode just for your fans.
I don't think I have any. So yeah, I have heaps of singing.
We do have one fan. We have a Stan. He's been quiet for a while. Anyway, carry on.
So these next set of reluctant lovers are pairings. These pairings have partners that are either resistant to taking the test or didn't know the test was taken for them. And we witnessed the fallout of this. So where do we start with this? I think we'll start with Nick in the book, Nick and Sally.
Yeah.
And Nick has a happy ending. I think he is evidence of match your DNA working, even though he was perhaps resistant to going through the process.
Mm.
But it actually works out for the best for him.
Yeah.
So Sally actually uses this match your DNA process to hide behind her bad behavior, because
she does
the test behind his back, doesn't she? Finds out that her match is the partner of her friend.
Yeah.
Or were they friends? Or did they become friends? Or they then became like a group of they became those couples that hang out and do stuff together, like quite
couple
close.
Friends.
Yeah, couple friends. Yeah. And she uses, and she then ends up cheating. She's unfaithful to Nick, and she plants this idea that they should go and get the match your DNA test to find out whether they are matched before they go ahead with the wedding. And he's very like, no, I don't want to do it. I know that I love you. Like, I know that I want to be with you. I don't need a test to prove this. But he goes along with it anyway, and he finds out that his match is actually not Sally, but a lovely man called, and I forget his name. But I absolutely love this storyline.
Oh my God, what is his name?
Shit, the bed. What is
it? Well, anyway, it doesn't really matter because he doesn't actually feature that much.
Can you hear that? My book and all the... I don't remember his match's name, but we know that he meets him, he goes to the place where his match works, and he pretends he's got this injury just to scope him out, really, and see whether he has these feelings that are described. He's curious. Now that he's gone through the process and he found out he has a match, he's curious. So he goes through it all, and he gets those fuzzies. He gets those feelings. He's like, oh my God, yeah. No, I can't explain it. And then he goes through that whole process of like, okay, I'm in love. I'm in love with a man. What does this mean about my identity? What does this mean about me?
Yeah. I actually really like that the book addresses that, actually. Like, I like that. Like, because love is love, right?
Exactly.
And like, if this book didn't have things like that, I'd think it was a way worse book, because like, love is love. Like, just because you're like, oh well, I've only ever dated girls, doesn't mean you can't fall in love with a guy. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly. You fall in love with someone's spirit, don't you? Essentially, exactly. You fall in love with the spirit of someone, and I don't think that should be limited to how a person identifies. I think,
and like, obviously people have preferences, but like,
yeah,
I like this part. I just wanted to say that. I like.
Yeah, he and his. up until the point in which he meets his match, and I really wish I could remember his name, he's like, oh, you know, my preference is women. This is straight. So he has that to deal with. He has Sally to deal with, who's questioning him on everything. Mm. But for, you know, sort of duplicitous reasons, because she has her match with, you know, their best friend. But in the end, he moves to the other side of the world with him, not throughout. What's his name?
Alex!
We like Nick and Alex, and he does move to the other side of the world with him. Okay, that's a point in this. All the successful matches in the book happen with someone that lives on the other side of the world.
It's a sign, Ellie. It's a sign. If ever you needed a sign, this is
go
the
to
sign.
Australia, New Zealand,
or New York.
Can't say that yet.
Anyway,
but it is a sign. And I really liked, I didn't like the position that Sally put him in to get there. The journey in which he takes to get there, I didn't like.
Me neither.
But
it works out. I mean, it works out bad for her. She literally dies, doesn't she?
Yeah, in childbirth as well, isn't it? Yeah.
So, like, oh my God, I hope that's not going to happen to Hannah in the series.
Oh God, yes, because Mark, Hannah and Megan are very similar. So Sally has a baby. The baby is not Nick's. The baby belongs to
the
best friend, the pal. Yes, the pal. He's been cheating. So we do know that the pal has been cheating on his wife in the book. We just don't know that it's with Sally at this point. But the baby, we know that it's not his baby because the baby comes out brown, essentially, because the best friend is Asian. So, but he doesn't care.
Bit of a giveaway.
It doesn't belong to him. But he doesn't care. The sad thing is that the biological dad doesn't want anything to do with him. The affair has cost a lot of... has cost him a lot with his marriage. I feel like he's not happy in his marriage really anyway, but I don't think that anything with Sally helps that either, because he kind of puts it to, yeah, we think we were a match, but also we think it was lust and we were drunk or we have,
yeah. But like, also, like, it works out well for the baby in the end.
Yeah, he's got, like, two loving parents.
Exactly.
Stuff. But like, right, you said with Hannah, so I hope that doesn't happen with Hannah, or Hannah and Sally have the same trajectory. Because Hannah, moving on to the TV series, this is sort of similar sort of pairing. Mark, second Mark, what we call, did you find a name for him? TV Mark. No, it doesn't work. Telly Mark, Hannah and Megan. So, like you said just a moment ago, Hannah, we hope that Hannah is pregnant at the end of the series. We hope that she doesn't have the same sort of path as Sally, but she's very similar as Sally, but she's actually a nice person. And Hannah's a bit more like Mandy before Mandy gets to Mandy, but we'll get to that. I'm mixing things up now. Hannah does the test behind Telly Mark's back.
Which is so messed up.
You shouldn't be able to do that.
No.
There needs to be some sort of vetting process. I don't know how people have been able to do this. Even Megan, at the end, when she takes Hannah's hair and does the DNA testing.
Yeah, so basically Hannah finds Megan, who is, and makes friends. So she makes friends with her husband's match. And then her husband does a surprise party for her birthday because he's an absolute angel sent from heaven. And he invites Megan, because Megan's Hannah's friend, and then they have their, like, moment, and then Hannah's like, oh no, what have I done? And I'm like, you made friends with your husband's match. What did you expect was going to happen?
The fact that she even sent off for the match in the first place, he was like, she fishes, like, oh, would you do it? So the reason she does it is because she's witnessed a friend go through it and break up with her partner because of this match or DNA thing. So she's absolutely paranoid about it. She can't let it lie. And what I found really funny was, you know, when Megan said to Hannah, why did you do it? Why didn't you do it for yourself? And she was just like, oh, because I know that I love Mark. That she couldn't trust Mark. She didn't trust that Mark loves her enough that she had to go and do his match for him.
Yeah.
Which I found really sad.
Yeah.
And so she does the match for Mark, makes friends with him. Where was I going?
She doesn't do her own match, does she? She doesn't do her own match.
No,
she's like, oh, I love her. Yeah, it's messed up. But anyway, like that whole thing is just odd.
Really, like, I feel bad for Hannah because I guess I don't know where this insecurity is or why she felt compelled to do it, because he was not interested in it at all.
And he actually chooses her as well, which is lush.
He actually chooses her. I mean, he does kiss Megan. He meets up with her. And sure, like, she's opened this can of worms now and he's curious. And I think, you know, I don't know if he's right to, but I can understand why he would want to go and see what that means, especially since he had that moment with her. He kisses her, but then he gets this, like, he gets some results back from a test that he had, like, just to check if he's, was it like a cancer test, maybe? Like a test to just
I think he had a cancer scare, yeah, but it was, like, fine.
But the one person he wanted to tell was Hannah, and he realised it really is just Hannah. But then obviously then he opens that can of worms up again and he sleeps with Megan. And Megan was going to go back to Australia. And then Hannah went and had to go see her and open up that can of worms.
But they really left this one on a cliffhanger. Like, if there's a series two, I can't wait to find out what happens. Because Hannah gets pregnant and Megan sends off her DNA.
Yeah. You know what I found really funny with them? Hannah's excuse not to be friends with Megan anymore. So before it all comes to light, Hannah's like,
I don't want to be friends with you. What did she say? Like,
she doesn't like the way she gets changed when they're at yoga. She's throwing her tits around. I don't like it.
Okay, on. Sure.
She's like,
imagine if someone said that to you, like, okay, cool, bye.
I might use that one day. Don't like the way you get changed. That's why we can't be friends anymore. It was so irrational. But I liked their story, and I really wish you didn't. It was almost like self-sabotage, wasn't it? It's like a self-fulfilling prophecy now.
He's a good boy until he sleeps with her. He's a semi-good boy.
Confused. He's human. He's acting out of...
He didn't need to sleep with her, though, did he?
No, he did not. He did not. But I think I don't think he's worked through what it is
that's it's happening. It's nowhere near as messed up as the next one that we're going to talk about, Andy and Richard.
So Hannah reminds me of... Hannah is what Mandy ends up being, if that makes sense. She's like the beginning of sort of like... that downfall. So Mandy had a partner and he found his match and they broke up, and Hannah's almost like is trying to prevent what happens to her is what happens. She's trying to prevent what happens to Mandy. And I think with Mandy we see that she is very sort of, she's very affected by what's happened to her. She has low self-esteem. She's depressed. She sees what the good things are happening to people around her with her family and stuff, but she really relies on Match Your DNA to sort of bring her out of this hole to find the one.
Yeah.
So, because it's happened to her husband, so she knows that, or she feels like this process works because she's seen it happen to someone she's supposed to have been in love with. Really, unfortunately, in this set of circumstances, her match, again, didn't know the test was taken for him because he was in a coma. Reads like a telenovela, doesn't it?
Also, okay, like, step back though. She thinks he's dead, first of all, doesn't she?
Yes.
And then she finds out he's in a coma. Right, it's so.
Well, he's in a coma, so that's how his DNA is on there. So she gets matched with him, and then she seeks him out. I think he's a bit younger than her. And then she realises, she's on social media, and she realises that he's passed away. Or she thinks he's passed away, but it's not the case. It's that he's in a coma, and his mother, his mother has submitted his DNA for him. And she does this because there's some science in the book, and I don't know how true this is in real life, but there's some science that, or is it babies that can bring people out of comas or something like that?
Don't know. Maybe.
It was something like either your match, your DNA person could help bring someone around from a coma, or like children. There's something like hormones or pheromones or something like that, and it's why she did the match your DNA test, because she wanted the child to help bring Richard round. And then she realized that wasn't the case, and then it very much became about Richard replacing the child, replacing Richard.
Yeah. And basically she gets Mandy to have his baby, right?
She becomes a human incubator. And I was telling you about this story that I'd read that came from, it was posted on Twitter, and it was an Am I the Arsehole Reddit thread. And this woman basically she's with this guy for like a couple of months, and then he goes back to his ex. Something happens and he has to go back to his ex, and she realizes that she's pregnant.
Right.
And so then there's like a series of events that happens, which basically just seems like this couple had set her up to get pregnant so they could take the child away from her. And everyone in the thread was like, girl, you better get out of that state. Don't be in the same state, because this happened in America. Don't be in the same state delivering that baby, because then they'll get rights, et cetera, et cetera. There were things that were happening where they were throwing baby showers, but they didn't invite her. There were suggestions that she was just a surrogate for them, but she'd been in a full-blown relationship with this guy for a couple of months. It was insane. So basically the woman was just like, I need to get away, I think. I don't understand what's happening, but I feel like this, something's up. Am I being the arsehole here or not? And everyone's like, girl, you are not being the arsehole. They are, get out, like, get out, get to your family, don't have the baby. Like, yeah, it was insane. And it's because I'd literally read that, and then Mandy's plot point came up about her being sort of this like human incubator for Richard's mum and sister, and I was like, oh my god.
Yeah, because she like gets like, it's like gets violent, she like takes the baby and the baby goes missing. Oh my god, it's so dramatic.
They exploit her need for human connection. They exploit her need for love.
They do, because she wants love, and then she finds this family that she feels that she has a connection to and she wants to belong, and then yeah,
she did. But they completely separate her from her family. They make her feel like her family, because her family are sort of cautious. They're like, they don't know everything, and then they find out that she met her match. Her match is dead, and now she's having a baby. And they're like, "Hang on a minute, slow down.
Yeah,
slow down here. What's going on?"
Yeah,
and they sort of twist her mind to be like, "Your family don't want the same things for you. They're not looking out for you." They sort of separate her from it. They sort of shut her off from the world. And it's not until she meets Richard's ex-partner, she comes across some pictures on his phone, doesn't she?
Yeah.
And it's not until she meets her that she's just like, Richard didn't even want to do this. Like, he never wanted to match your DNA. He thought it was stupid. And she's like, oh, wait, what?
It's wild. It's absolutely wild.
All of the things that she thought she knew about him isn't necessarily true. She built up a picture of him in his head based off anecdotes that weren't necessarily
true.
She's
properly manipulated, though. It's so messed up.
So then how important do you think free will is in this book, then? Because I feel like these people, this group of people, sort of live and die by this idea, like we said at the beginning, of that natural DNA being correct.
Yeah, I feel like these stories are kind of like a warning, being like, we should not do this in society. if this could happen, we should not do it for these reasons.
Yeah, you shouldn't go behind your partner's back to do this, because the implications are serious, they're big, and they have repercussions, like big repercussions. Also, you have a choice. You have a choice to love freely. This should only help inform you if that's what you want, but it shouldn't be the be all and end all. You have a, in the same way, like with the twins, if you were to match an identical twin and you're just like, oh, which one? Back to the twin. But then, like, your environment and everything around you will help inform that decision. There's an element of free will here that you are allowed to have, and it shouldn't be ruled by basically a commodity, like a dating, online dating app that's just there to come up, like, make money off of you.
Yeah, agreed.
I feel. But they were interesting. I think actually they were probably like my favourite set of people to read and watch.
Mm. Yeah.
Because of that.
Yeah, because it's like makes you think, like, oh, yeah. I know what you mean. But then there's some also like actual morally ambiguous people.
This is the final set of people.
I mean, Mandy's mum sort of belongs to this category. Rich's mum. Yeah, not Mandy's mum. But like there are obviously some corrupt things that happen in this book and series. First of all, should we talk about Ellie and Rebecca? As in Ellie / Rebecca. So like the founder of the app.
I think they have this, they basically have the same spirit, I feel. I think Ellie, the way in which they get to where they are, and I guess the sort of trajectory, the path that they go on is different, but they very much have the same spirit. And I think that they really believe that what they're doing is right.
Yeah.
For different reasons.
I think, though, that they, the fact that we see how they got the DNA, both of them, so, like, it's the same character, but just they're different in the book and series. They're the, like, the main person. They both do really corrupt things to get the DNA, and I think that just shows that this shouldn't, like, if this was a thing, like, if this was scientific, which obviously it's not, but if it was, the fact that they had to get the DNA in such corrupt ways means that, like, it shouldn't happen, yeah. You know?
So I'll tell, so I can tell you in the, so Ellie is the Ellie is the founder of Match Your DNA in the book, and she, I've got the American version, so it's on page 385, but she stole people's DNA. So her match, oh my God, we'll get to it. Her match is a guy called Tim, but actually his name is Matthew, and he completely, like...
And he's not her match.
He is not her match. But he basically goes, you took their DNA, you took the DNA of the dead, the dying, the sick, and criminals to bolster up your numbers in order to get more financial backing. She also goes through bins to steal people's DNAs. He trawled a bit deeper. You had the DNA of severely mentally handicapped and even dead children on your database. Dead children, Ellie. How the fuck can you justify that?
I mean, yeah.
She said, I found the details of known paedophiles, sex offenders and killers buried deep in your files, some of whom you've actually found matches for. So the ways in which he finds these matches completely unethical, and these people are being matched. Like, when you, what is the vetting process? Once it goes to market, of course, there's a vetting process, but the fact that the chips have been stacked in such horrible ways that people could be matched with these types of people with, it's more the serious people.
Obviously, like, I think this is a problem. Obviously, I agree that this is, like, so messed up. But, like, people can meet serial killers in real life. And, true. Like, as in, there is always... there's a risk when you go on a dating app anyway. Like, you always should, like, send a friend your location or whatever if you're meeting a stranger. So, like, I guess this is, like, the issue with this is that if you meet a dangerous person and you think that they are your soulmate... like, you can't just be like, okay, I'm never gonna see you again. Well, you can, but
it comes down to that whole, like, people will live and die by the app. So with then you as a person who's stuck in a situation where you might be with a sex offender or some sort of criminal, feel obliged to stay with that person because this is your DNA match. Where do you draw the line? How do you draw the line for yourself?
Why am I matched with this person? Like, what?
Because she stacked the chips against you to put people on there that shouldn't have been on there in the first place. Whereas Rebecca in the TV series, she steals the DNA from her friend. But we don't know who the people are on that DNA database, but the ways in which she gets it is unethical. We know that in the book, Ellie's match isn't her match. He somehow hacks the system in a really sophisticated way.
But I'm sorry, but
you had feelings about this.
I just think, right, if you have a tech product, you should know if someone's hacked you. Like, I just don't, I fundamentally don't understand. That is such a flaw. Like, if you have a tech product in the this day and age, your security will be so tight that if you do get hacked, everything will get shut down. Or, like, well, I don't know how they deal with a hack. But, like, I'm but sorry.
She even says it in the book. She's like, oh, we've dealt with hackers before. It's like, how did he slip the net?
Exactly. Like, this is what I just think is, like, I mean, how can he be that sophisticated? Like, she literally owns a tech company, basically. Like, yeah, I don't know. I just don't think that's very realistic.
Do we know what her background is? Because in the series, Rebecca is like a scientist, right? Like, that's, she's a geneticist.
It's the same in the book. Yeah.
Is she a geneticist?
I think so. It must be. Otherwise, how would she know? How would she be able to do it?
Yeah, but just because, I guess, because you're science in one way doesn't necessarily make you sciencey in another way. Or you have like an understanding.
Said by a true creative.
You know what I always thought was really cool? You know Mayim Bialik, who plays Amy in, what's that book? In The Big Bang Theory.
Mm-hmm.
She actually is like a full-on scientist.
Love that.
And so they were able to like tap into her for certain things, I think, in the branch of science that she talks about in the show. But I used to love her in Blossoming.
Branch of science. I wish I was a scientist, I'm not gonna lie. Like, my mum is chemistry.
she is chemistry.
She knows stuff about chemistry, and I just kind of wish I had that side to me, but I just don't. So
I find it fascinating. I do.
I do find it interesting, but like at school, like I feel like science had a lot of maths, and maths is just not just not
my bag.
I mean, I can do basic maths, you know, better than that. I feel like you might be good as a scientist because you bloody love an Excel spreadsheet. So
I actually really enjoyed science and maths at school. I just never went down that path.
I think if I did
my time again, I probably would. I'd probably go into like nutrition or something like that, but I'm too far down that road now, can't be asked.
I mean, I just like, I've always been words over numbers, so yeah, words, I like words. give me all the words anyway.
So Rebecca in the book, she does find her match. They have to test it out. They've taken this DNA, they have to test it out in some way. Her match is on this DNA database, and she goes to meet him, and this wasn't Mateus.
Sexy little Mateus.
Mateus, lovely. He's actually really hot. Portuguese guy, lives on the island of Tenerife with his brother, Fabio. Yeah, they're Portuguese.
What do you mean? They live in Tenerife?
Yeah, but he could be Portuguese and live in Tenerife.
How do you know he's Portuguese?
Because I had the captions on.
And they were speaking in Portuguese and not Spanish.
Yeah.
But wouldn't they speak in Spanish?
No, not together.
I'm baffled. Why were they in Tenerife speaking Portuguese? As in, like, obviously that is a thing that could realistically happen, but, like, why would they do that in the series? It makes no sense. What? I'm so confused. They do speak Spanish in Tenerife. Isn't Tenerife part of Spain? I'm so confused. No?
Hang on, let me look it up. We're looking this up.
No, it is, because I have a friend that lives in Tenerife and he speaks Spanish.
You can speak Spanish. It's like anything here, right? So I have a friend, she is Finnish. She lives with a girl that is Finnish. They speak English with each other, obviously. But sometimes they talk Finnish together. He talks Portuguese to his brother.
No, obviously I know that's a thing, but why would they make him Portuguese and then make him live in Tenerife? Why wouldn't they just make him live in Portugal? It's a TV series.
I don't know. I'm looking now. What was his name? Mateus. Oh, God. Mateus, the one.
Well, anyway, it doesn't really matter, does it?
I will find it out and have an answer for you at the end of this show. End of this show.
Well, I guess, so, like, yeah, she, all this really messed up stuff happened. Oh, he's Portuguese, right. Well, why does he live in Tenerife then?
Because you can. That's the lovely freedom you have of being in the EU. You can just get up and go anywhere.
Ellie, I'm trying to have a good day today.
Webber used to live in the EU. You can't do that now.
Don't make me cry.
I digress. Where's my... she finds her match and he is not... He is the one, and unfortunately he dies, but I think it informs them in different ways, don't you think? That both Ellie and Rebecca wholeheartedly believe that what they do is right, that their actions are right. So in the book, Ellie says, where is it? She's like, my actions have put homophobia, racism and religious hatred on the edge of extinction. A match doesn't recognise sexuality, colour or whatever God you choose to celebrate. It has united people of all faiths and persuasions in a way we have never thought possible. Show me what you have done to make this world a less hostile place. Then she goes on. Oh, sorry. She goes on to say, matches are better financially than the unmatched. Matched couples get bigger tax breaks, better life insurance deals. They're more productive at work because they're happier at home. So they're offered better jobs. She does go on to say, for the unmatched, suicide rates are higher, as are divorces and depression. And then, which she recognises, Tim/Matthew then goes on to say, for the unmatched, suicide rates are higher as are divorces and depression, but she goes, both of which actually fell last year as more and more people are finding happiness with those for whom they were designed. And she said domestic violence against both men and women also dropped. And then he questions that. He says it only dropped because people are scared to report it because they're stuck in this match that they feel they need to be in and they don't want to risk it because to be in a relationship with someone that is not their match. And then she goes on to say immigration and emigration are no longer such contentious issues. So she believes, because she's been able to change the world in these ways, that what she's doing is right, but it doesn't necessarily mean that. The way she goes about it is unethical and she traps people in potentially hostile and volatile situations.
But just because you do something good doesn't mean it's okay. Like, as in, yeah. Doesn't mean the bad stuff's then just taken away.
I think it's interesting that in the book, she falls in love by free will. In the TV show, she falls in love with her match. Just interesting.
Yeah. Well, I guess, like, part of the problem is, like, you could meet, like we were saying, you could be matched with, like... So in the book, the last people is Christopher and Amy, and Christopher is literally a psychopath, isn't he?
Yeah.
A serial killer. He wants to kill 30 women before he's 30 or something stupid like that. And she is a police officer and, like, she's matched with him and, like, they get on really well, but then she finds out that he's a serial killer and then she actually kills him, I think, doesn't she?
Yeah, she does. He is number 30. That was, like, the sort of poetic justice in it.
Yeah, but, like, that's so scary because, like, she is, like, kill or be killed, like...
Well, yeah, there was only one way that was going to end, right, when you read it, that he... It's funny because he sort of not turns a corner... But he, in meeting Amy, he sort of is able to reconcile more human emotions.
He's literally a serial killer. Like, it's horrible. It's horrible. I think you were like, I can't. What did you say? Like, I can't live alone after reading this or something.
No, absolutely not. Because it was the ways in which he picked his, like, victims. So they were always on, like, ground floor flats. There were no TV or...
Do you know what? I actually have a thing, like, I never want to live on the ground floor. Like, I never want to live on a ground floor flat ever.
Absolutely not. He went into places where they were, like, badly lit, where there were no people around. So for me, where I live opposite a school. So there's always going to be cameras around. It's a busy, not busy road because a bus goes down it. There's cameras, like, I feel fine. I also live in a house. But... He's like textbook psychopath, and he has all these, I don't know how Amy just didn't, it took Amy to find the book to realise that he was the killer, right?
Yeah, but she's in love with him, that's why. Love is blind.
Great TV programme, by the way. He had all of these books about serial, he was like dark, he had dark. All these books about serial killers and stuff like that. And he just was like, yeah, it's because of this. She was onto him from the jump, though. Like, you know, when she spotted him, like, trying to hang back and make her wait and stuff like that. There was no doubt in my mind that she would never not find him out.
She
was always going to find out that he always, the thing is, and that's the thing with like psychopaths and serial killers in this case, that they always think that they're a step ahead, but they fall, they trip up. And he always thought he was a step ahead of Amy, but she was pretty much onto him from the jump. She was pretty much like, you had me waiting, I saw you outside when we were meant to meet on our first date. And
she's a clever girl.
She's a very clever girl. And it's interesting because he is the type of people that you wouldn't want on this app. And he does that from his own free will. It's not because they stole his database. When we were talking about nature v nurture earlier, he was like, I came from good beginnings. I've got good family. Nothing happened to me in my life to make me this way. I just always knew that this was kind of me. And so I lived in it. Yeah.
But yeah. So, I mean, I guess there's so much in this book and the series, like, because obviously like slightly different storylines and stuff, like it just really makes you think, like, oh my god, it's so scary. And also it does kind of make me think, like, it's just scary in general who you could end up with. Yeah, do you know what I mean? Like, it's a bit scary, like, I don't know.
But it goes to prove that, like, you know, we were talking about human connection before. Even a serial killer, a psychopath, needs human connection, because he found that with Amy.
Well, I tell you what, though, like, in the pandemic, like, I mean, I know we're sitting in the pandemic, but, like, you just, for me, like, every now and again, I'd just be like, oh my god, I haven't hugged anyone for like a month. Like,
yeah,
what? And I'd be like, can I have a hug? To my flatmate.
This would be quite nice. Can I have a hug?
Please, can I have a hug? But yeah, no, I think, yeah, it is really important. And like connection, not just like obviously physical touch, but like emotional connection. It's really important to people. So,
Would you? I was going to ask which characters you believe act wrongly and rightly, but I think we've pretty much covered.
Yeah.
I think they all act in really odd ways, with varying consequences. But would you take the test?
When we were chatting about this book to start with, I was like, yeah, I think I would if I was single. So like, I would never take the test. If I was in a happy relationship, I just wouldn't, because like, I would if I was happy and in a relationship, why would I need to? And I was like, I probably would if I was single, but actually, I'm not sure.
Do you think would you be paranoid being in a happy relationship that the other person was thinking about taking the test, like Hannah?
I think it would depend how secure I was in that relationship. Like, if I was really secure in the relationship, then no. But then I guess if I wasn't secure in the relationship, would the relationship be good enough? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I found it strange that she wouldn't take it for her because she was so convinced of her own feelings, but the fact that she couldn't then extend that same.
I do think it would be hard to not have that curiosity slightly.
Yeah.
But yeah, what about you? You wouldn't, would you?
Oh, I'd absolutely not take this test. I don't even like dating apps.
But Ellie, this would take away the need for the dating apps. That's the whole point.
No, I'm gonna meet my guy out there in nature, maybe on the other side of the
nature
world. Maybe on the other side of the world. I absolutely not. I don't like dating apps. It took me years before I was on one. I did it because my friend thought I needed a confidence boost. I think if anything, it's just made that worse. I think that this onus on this person being the one would just do something insane to my head. I think it takes away your free will to make decisions for yourself, to trap you in a situation. I would just put it out to the universe that I would meet someone. And if I don't, then I will happily die with my cats. So, yeah.
That's an excellent vibe. Do you know what, though, as well? I don't think there's one person for everyone. Like, I think there might be multiple people, but it just depends on what happens in your life and when who you meet and if they're the right person for you at the right time.
Yeah, I agree.
I think you can like have your one person that you then stay with, but like you have to meet the right person at the right time for that to happen, and there may have been other right people and wrong times. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I think love is more fluid than that. Like, I think Nick's a perfect example of it. He was really happy in his relationship and he was in love with Sally. At least he thought he was until he met Nick.
I think he probably was. Like,
I think you can love two people. I think that's possible. I think Kate and Sophia and Sebastian prove that as well.
Whoa.
But no, I wouldn't take the test. No. And no one take the test for me.
Yeah,
don't want to know.
Well, anyway, I guess like there's a lot to think about there, guys. Hope you enjoyed that.
What did you give as your Goodreads rating?
I gave this book a 5-star on Goodreads. Like, I absolutely loved this book. I read it last summer. My best friend bought it for me for my birthday. And I absolutely loved it. But I think I love a little bit of romance and also love a thriller and I also love a dystopian theme. So it's like everything I like in books in one book.
It's a good book.
Yeah.
That's a good present as well, actually.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a decent book present.
Yeah. What would you give it?
Oh, I gave it a 4, but I'm a harsh marker. So it's more than a 4, but it's not 5 for me. But I really enjoyed it. It was a really easy read. I mean, I found the book, like, it was predictable, but I think that's probably the point. Maybe I don't know. And if he's got any more, I'd definitely read more of John Mars. I really enjoyed it.
He has got other books. Yeah, he has. I can't remember what they're called, but I'm gonna. Yeah, I think I'm gonna invest. But I'm on a book buying ban because I've got too many books to read. So,
how did you find the Netflix show?
I didn't like it. I'd give it like. I don't know, like a 2. No, like a, I don't know. I didn't like it nearly as much as I liked the book. And I don't know if maybe I didn't know the book, maybe I would have enjoyed it more, but I didn't rate it nearly as much. Yeah.
No.
What about you?
I preferred the book a lot more. I think it's, did you watch that Netflix one? Oh, I can't remember what it was. I think, I don't know if I would have enjoyed the TV show as much either. Even without reading the book.
Yeah, it just wasn't that, great. It was fine. It was fine.
Oh, are you going to watch, are you going to tune in for season 2 and Rebecca and her power suits?
I think so.
We did not talk about her power suits.
But you know, there are other series with similar concepts, apparently.
Oh, yeah.
So, what? I don't know, they might be worth watching. I don't know what they are. I'll find them. I'll send you them if I can find them. I need to ask my friend, she's watched them.
Rebecca and I think just because I want to see what happens, I feel invested now. We did a whole podcast episode. And I want to see more of Rebecca and her white power suits. I kind of want to see what happens, but if there's a third season, I'd be like, why? And if not, someone needs to tell me. What were your plans? Where is it going?
Who wrote the script on Netflix? We need to find them.
Yeah, I wonder how much involvement John Mars had.
Yeah, that'd be interesting to find out. Should we message him on Instagram?
Yeah, he replied to your story. Post.
Yeah, we'll message him. We'll DM him. Maybe we'll get him on. How cool would it be if we got him on? I'm going to ask him. We're like, we're your biggest fan. I gave your book 5 stars on Goodreads.
So ignore Ellie. She doesn't know what she's talking about. She's a hard marker. She's a harsh marker. Her 4 was a 5.
If anyone knows John Mars, send him our way. We want to talk to him.
We have questions.
Anyway. Okay, well, great chat.
Great chat.
I'm tired now.
you gotta go help someone move now, yeah?
I've gotta go help someone move house, and then my brother's in London and wants to see me, and it's all happening today, but I don't have time for any of it. But it's all good. This is a good problem to have, guys. Because we had no plans for years. Well, it feels like years. But no, I am going to go help someone move. So I need to go get my muscles ready. I'm actually quite strong for someone so small, I would like to say.
Tiny but mighty.
Yeah, exactly.
I like to say.
I mean, I imagine you're a lot stronger than me because you work out about 6 million times a week. But, you know,
I'm going to go do that now. I'm going to work out. So I'm going to go work out, and then I've got to go get ready and go out. So that's
me. Can you send me a picture of your outfit?
Yeah, I don't know what to wear, actually, because I'm supposed to wear something sparkly or something colourful, and I have neither of those things. I live in black.
Oh, babes, you should look at my rail of colourful clothes.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
Yeah.
It's a shame I don't live close.
I know, honey. Never mind.
Okay, guys, we will see you again. I think our next book will be The Flat Share.
Whoop, whoop. Which is another one of my favourite books. Look at us discussing my favourite books.
I don't mind. I made you read all of the Lara Jean ones.
No, they were great, though. Absolutely great. Okay, love you, bye.
And that's the app. If you like the episode, please leave us a lovely review, subscribe and share with your friends, and we'll love you forever. Follow us on socials at We Are Bookish Pod. Thanks for listening.